My name is Adam Fairholm, and welcome to the IMVDB Weekly This Week in Music Video Podcast. Like I mentioned, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. Like I said, my name is Adam Fairholm. I'm a co-founder of IMVDB, and with me every episode since the beginning, I haven't done one alone yet, is Mr. Douglas Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Super good, Adam. I'm alone, though. Alone in my thoughts.
That's a terrible way to be on a podcast, alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
You need to be with the group. All right,
I'm with you guys.
And the group is not just two people, it's three people, because we have Mr. Adam Alexander from Fringe Music Fix with us as well to discuss this week in music videos. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good.
The week is treating you well, treating everyone well.
I'm being treated really well.
Just by other people in general.
Yeah, people have held the door for me this week. Oh, nobody's taking a shit in my lawn. So it's a plus. I'm on the plus side of this week.
I can't say the same for me, but anyway, we'll just keep going on. And I wanted to start off this week by asking everybody a simple question, and that is, what is your favorite food nationality? I don't know if ethnic food is PC term, so we'll say food nationality. Doug, what is your favorite type of food?
I love Chinese food.
Okay. And Adam?
Oh, well, probably Mexican.
That's a good one.
Fake Mexican.
Right, exactly.
Out of a box and packaged.
Same thing. I like Indian food. But all out of the three of us, there was the number one video of the week. Only caters to one person, I guess. The person that it touches the most in terms of hitting close to home, that would be you, Doug, because the song is called Chinese Food.
Yeah, see, you know what? I wouldn't have picked Chinese food, but this song has convinced me to like it. So
you're not into Chinese food? I think everybody likes Chinese food, right?
It's gross. I mean, yeah, I eat it. It's fried, and it's good, but I never enjoy it. At least the kind of Chinese food that I've encountered, which is Americanized. I've never been to China.
Neither have I. Adam, have you been to China?
I've not been to China.
Okay. Well, we should mention that. three for three, three strikes for not being going to China. And we should mention that, of course, the number one video this week, by quite a lot, is Allison Gold Chinese Food, which is sort of the second coming of Friday by Rebecca Black from 2011. It's the same people. Patrice Wilson, who does the rap in the middle, is the same guy who plays the panda bear in this video. And it's directed by a trio, Ian Hotchkiss, Chris Lowe, and Patrice Wilson. And it is for real at the top of the list for this week.
And now it's not like there's a straight line from Friday into Chinese food. There's they've done a lot of horrible videos in between, and a lot of them have been tremendously popular. If you just look at the YouTube account associated with Patrice Wilson and these music videos, a lot of the videos are like in the tens of millions of views. So,
right, this one seems to, I feel like, has gotten a lot of traction quicker than most.
It's definitely been quicker, but like this time last year, there was a video like Thanksgiving Day with Patrice Wilson, I think, was rapping leg of turkey, and that's got like that's got 12 million views. So it's definitely, but this one is, you know, this one in 1 week is, you know, is like at is at Britney and Rihanna numbers, just to give you an idea. It's pretty close. But it's being met with not much favorability. It's got 21,000 likes and 94,000 dislikes on YouTube. So not many people enjoy this video.
Well, I think that it's treading on some thin ice. Because remember, I think back in August, we had that Asian girls video.
Right. And that was stomping on thin ice, that video.
Yeah,
was.
That stomped on thin ice. But this one, we should describe a little bit of what the video is for people listening to this and the inevitable time capsule that this podcast will be put into.
Right.
This is one of those videos where it's a young girl, just like Rebecca Black, although Alison Gold seems significantly younger than Rebecca Black.
Yeah, she's 12, I think.
She's extremely young.
That's so sad that this girl is 12 years old and this is what she's forever going to be. Oh, jeez.
So the song is a remarkably straightforward song about Chinese food. And I say remarkably straightforward because there is, you know, whenever you're dealing with race, so it was, the song like Friday or the Thanksgiving song never dealt with, waded into the race waters. But this is... it's so easily can cross into like a you know Ling Panda you know furniture sales Super Bowl commercial kind of thing and they're just from Alison Gold there is no hint of that whatsoever. She is basically just singing about the just very literally the different types of Chinese different things on the Chinese food menu that she enjoys.
And she goes Chow ma main.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she does a little arm movement, and it's got the, and then they have the, they're using the same thing that they use on, like, I can't remember what it's called. It's like the thing that makes certain areas go blurry. There's a name for it, but the same one that's used on Yonkers.
Yeah.
They're using that, but whoever's using it, I guess.
Like tilt shift or something.
Right. And they have no clue what they're doing, basically.
They're just moving it around. Alison Gold herself isn't so bad, but Patrice Wilson's verse is pretty racially insensitive. I can't give Patrice and his verse a pass on this one. It's in his performance too. He's squinting his eyes and all of that.
The eye squint, I think, does it. I don't know. Yeah.
Did you guys notice the subtitles too? Like.
It's just nonsense. It's just gibberish. It's just gibberish down there, right?
I thought it was like Spanish stuff.
Yeah.
Starts off what?
It starts off with either Chinese subtitles, I think, and then it's like Arabic, and then yeah,
yeah, it just
and so forth.
Yeah, gosh, it's like this video is the definition of don't feed the trolls, and actually, it's a definition of the trolls being fed, right? Everyone knows Patrice Wilson has done. Like a million of these videos, and he's like, he hasn't been able to like since Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. He hasn't really had a huge hit. So It's Thanksgiving, which was almost a year ago, has got 15 million views, and then all the rest, none of the rest following, have cracked a million. And like you got to think his only goal in doing this is to, you know, have a huge YouTube view count. Hit and so I guess he just is like, well, this one music video that wasn't very good and this song wasn't very good, but was racist, got a lot of attention. So let's do that.
I don't know if it's racist. It's just playing into. I mean, the squinty eye thing. It's just I don't know what to call it. It's
the lyrics sound like they're written by someone who doesn't speak English very well. It's definitely like, and like they're and it's and it does like the thing like mashing any Asian culture together, how it like starts with Mongolian food and is just like isn't even Chinese food, like it's just like a miss he keeps missing. And so
that being said, there are some kind of funny moments in this video.
There are.
Yeah, like the so when Alison Gold or whatever gets the fortune cookie, it says you will find a friend, and then she looks over at the bear, at the guy in the panda suit, and he opens his fortune cookie, it says you will find a friend too. That's like a Naked Gun sort of joke.
Yeah,
totally. And that's funny. And same with the end where the panda takes off in a rainbow. And then she opens the fortune cookie that the panda tossed to her, and it says, "The panda will take off in a rainbow." I laughed at that. I don't know. But anyway, there are plenty more, much more interesting music videos to talk about.
Wait, one more question. Like, is Patrice Wilson, like, all of these kids' parents? Because where are they? Like, there had to be a parent who is maybe, like maybe it's not, like, racist. Maybe the jury's still out on that. But it's definitely, like, walking on a racist path, like, in that direction. Like, I don't know. What a terrible, stupid idea to make this music video, but whatever.
What, you can't sing about Chinese food? I mean, I agree. The Patrice Wilson cameo, or his verse, ruined it, because he was obviously, like...
He's mimicking a caricature of a Chinese person. It's like not real. It's like a minstrel show type thing. Like, it's
right. But Alison Gold has no part in that. She her part is. And first of all, this music video is terrible. Like the just in the laziness of it. Like the beginning of the song is ostensibly about how she goes clubbing, and then right. She gets out of the club and she's hungry, so she sees Chinese food, and she's in like a fucking
12.
Yeah, she's like at a fucking park, and like right. walking around like throwing trash cans on the floor. You know, it's a lazy music video. And like you said, like yeah, the thing in the beginning. First of all, there's like a 30-second monologue in some sort of Asian language that is not translated whatsoever, which is an odd way to start it. And it's a lazy music video, but I don't think Alison Gold is going to get stuck with this with any sort of label on her that would be a stigma for the rest of her life. I think it's all on Patrice Wilson, and hopefully people are smart enough to see that.
Yeah, I definitely think we got it, and her parents. Because, isn't ARC Music Factory, which is Patrice Wilson's company, like they just do stuff for money from parents, right? Like it's not like this girl's on a label. This wasn't a commissioned video. Like a parent was from what I understand of how ARC Music Factory works, they have just like a book full of songs pre-written where they just like put a different 12-year-old girl in the place and have them sing about whatever. And, like, somebody signed off on, like, yes, I want my daughter to be the one I want my daughter to get this Chinese food one. The whole thing is upsetting to me. It's worse than a visualette.
Adam, earlier today, Doug was so upset that this video called itself, or this band released a video and called it a visualette.
No, they didn't release a video. That's the whole point. It wasn't a video. It was a visualette. Who did we lose? Me?
No, we lost Adam.
He was upset about the visualette. Off to a great start with Chinese food.
Half an hour of Chinese food.
And that's what happens when you talk about Chinese food.
I know, seriously.
They cut you off.
So we need to get off this Chinese food topic because
Please, that'd be great.
There are so many other great music. Or this week had a lot of depth, I think. They're like, you know, I think we're comparing everything to September, the weeks in September where like Wrecking Ball and like Roar came out and stuff like that, all these really big videos. But we're seeing a lot of depth this week. And I think it's not just in the top 10. It goes even further than that. So we can talk a little bit about some of the top 10 stuff. We should talk about number 2, which is Avril Lavigne. Excuse me. It's not a hard word to say. Avril Lavigne, Let Me Go by Christopher Sims. And that is featuring, let me just make sure who it is.
The guy from Creed.
Yeah, the guy from Creed, Chad Kroeger. Wait, no, the guy from Nickelback.
Nickelback,
they're
the same
thing.
How could you get those guys mixed up? They're very
same thing.
From Pearl Jam.
So this is a definitely different video for Avril Lavigne. She's glammed up. I don't really understand the narrative of it. It starts off with she's in a mansion and there's a guy who's a janitor, and through him, this is some Beauty and the Beast. Time stuff going on, and he becomes a younger guy and becomes Chad Kroeger. It's complicated, but the point is that Avril Lavigne has not been doing this is a new kind of thing for her. She's been doing stuff like Smile, and the last one that Chris Morris Plural did for her,
Rock and Roll,
which was a very, and like, you know, Here's to Never Growing Up. These are very much, you know, like pop kind of in your face stuff. She's styled kind of like, not unlike, I don't know, what would you guys say she styled like in this?
I kept seeing the screenshot and thinking it was Skylar Grey, actually.
Yeah, but Skylar Grey's all over the place. Something.
Yeah, she is all over the place. She's got a video like this, though.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. Yeah, you're right, Adam. Like a Taylor Swift in like Begin Again or like one of those ballad songs. Yeah. But anyway, and Adam, I don't know. I'm meaning to ask you this. Is the Canadian accent so apparent in Avril Lavigne like it is for me? I feel like, even when she's doing this ballad, I can just like such like a thick like Northern Ontario accent.
Yeah, she does can have that that accent. I don't know. Maybe I do notice something,
mm-hmm.
but maybe I have it too, and I can't notice it like you. Oh, I don't know.
No, I think that's true.
I just love Pearl Jam, so I love this song.
What?
It was a bad joke that I said twice. I like Avril Lavigne. I'm just like so excited to talk about this 2 Chainz video. I can't contain myself. So just let me know when you guys wrap up with Avril.
So I guess the gist of it is different, you know, direction for Avril Lavigne. I don't know why I'm having trouble saying her name. She is like super like glammed up, and this is a very like serious video. Even for like Chad Kroeger from, you know, Nickelback, this is a really serious video. And you know, everything from like the treatment to like the color treatment to, you know, the editing and everything like that is very tastefully done. And it was a popular video. It was 5.5 in the first week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. At least 5.5. I it could get a whole other million by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Speaking of,
you just want to talk about this stupid 2 Chainz
video. It's such a great video. This could be my other than birthday song. This could be my favorite 2 Chainz video ever.
Okay, well, you walk us through that.
It's such an amazing video, directed by Alex Dazari. This 2 Chainz video for "Used to" is a pretty close remake to the, I think it's the 1998 Juvenile video, Ha. It's definitely in New Orleans, like that Ha video. There's a lot of similar elements. It's just like a 2013 version of that song. And the video is even full of former Cash Money millionaires and Lil Wayne, so current Cash Money millionaire as well. But Manny Fresh, who was the former Cash Money producer, Juvenile, and Young Turk, who both were in the Hot Boys with Lil Wayne back in the late 90s, make appearances in this video. And it's just like your classic late 90s, like bunch of rich rappers in the middle of the hood, you know, like wearing jewelry that's more expensive than everything else you see in the video combined. And it's just done like so perfectly. Like, if I'd love to be able to watch this video side by side with the 98 Juvenile Ha video, because it just like, you could tell like the influence, and then 2 Chainz verses in the song are also like essentially recreations, or he, you know, he uses the same flow as Juvenile uses in the Back That Ass Up song. And as someone who was just like who at age 14 was a huge Cash Money Millionaires fan, it would just like brought me back to like freshman year of high school when like I was a huge asshole, but like this type of music and dress like this. So it brought me back. It brought me back to a time when I would have hated myself at this point. So like if I met ninth grade Doug Klinger, like I would have, me as 28-year-old Doug Klinger would hate myself in ninth grade, and myself in ninth grade would hate me so much. So it's great that this video brought. We would have shared an admiration for this video, though. So boom.
Wow, that's that was a very personal.
That's how come I love video. It. That's how come I love it. How about you guys? Do you guys have the same personal reaction to this video? And the same hatred of your ninth grade selves?
Now, I I did not. I think, Adam, you and I are probably in the same boat here. I have no clue what this video is referencing. I've never seen anything like this video that is referencing. Yeah,
no. I'm with you.
I mean, I told you that it referenced Ha, and then I sent the link to Ha. So, like, did you watch the video I sent you?
Yeah, I watched Ha.
I didn't get the link, so.
You did, that's
I mean, it's like identical to Ha almost. I mean, it's not as close as Panic at the Disco and D'Angelo. How does it feel? It's not a shot for shot remake, but it's shot in the same neighborhood. Everyone's wearing the same clothes, and like it's almost identical. Like the what they're focusing on and the way they're shooting it. They're just shooting it with like an Alexa instead of whatever the heck they were using in 1999 to shoot music videos.
They might have been still using Alexa. You never know.
Do you really not see like the similarities? In
oh,
the video?
I definitely see the similarities. I think the impact of the video is lost on me a bit. But I do really enjoy 2 Chainz. I like 2 Chainz a lot. 2 Chainz a lot, and he's growing on me as like a main guy instead of just a feature. And this video had, you know, I've seen these types of videos, like when you said, like, you know, Rich Rapper is in, you know, a neighborhood, and it's a whole bunch of people, and, you know, he's wearing, you know, ridiculously expensive chains next to, you know, houses that you could get for, you know, $25,000. But I like the video a lot. I just don't have that reference. I think that, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you are close to that reference and you love that reference, like you, Doug, then you, mm-hmm. you enjoy it. But you can understand the reference, but not have it has a little bit more of an emotional impact. The same with the D'Angelo one, with the Panic of the Disco one. Like, I remember seeing that video, so I think it had more of an impact on me. Not because I loved that video, the D'Angelo video when it came out, but because I remember that it wasn't just like looking back at a video and seeing the similarities.
Yeah.
So what does Grade 9 Adam Ferrum listen to?
Oh, Jesus.
That would convey that same nostalgia that Doug's getting from this one.
I can't even remember myself in grade
9. It would be a Smash Mouth song.
I can confess to owning one Smash Mouth CD, but I don't think I ever got past like the second song. But
the Shrek soundtrack?
No, it was the walking, the one with Walking in the Sun. This is pre Shrek soundtrack. What do you guys take me for? I've never bought a soundtrack in my life except for that's the not,
first of all, Cable Guy soundtrack. You definitely own that.
What?
The cable guy, just so you could get Jim Carrey's rendition of "Want Somebody to Love." Guys, Cable Guy. Think about it.
We may need to move on.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. I think this. I know that the Afrojack video is actually from last week, despite being on the list right now. That'll be off. Did this Prince video come out last week as well?
No. The Prince Breakfast. No. They came. This came out this week.
Oh, so let's talk about it.
So,
it actually came out Friday.
Oh, fuck it.
But yeah, I just want to mention one little thing about it.
The Wanted. Okay, fine.
Because it's interesting because this video is directed by, I think, one of the youngest directors that I think I've seen direct a video of this size, and that's Danielle Curiel, and she's 18 years old, and she directs and stars in the video. She's the lead dancer. And I've read articles and I've heard her described as sort of a Prince protege. This is one of those other things I just don't get. I do not understand the draw of Prince whatsoever in any era. Like the When Doves Cry stuff, I don't
know. We have to fight. Glass, it's me and you.
I was so excited when the Breakfast Can Wait single cover came out that Dave Chappelle on it. I think a lot of people were waiting for the video to see Dave Chappelle, and this was a lot more, played it a lot straighter than I think any, because Dave Chappelle's not in it, obviously. But it does have an interesting element. It has Danielle Curiel dressed up as Prince, as a female Prince, with like a...
Oh, Prince in gender roles. No way! Yeah, Who saw that coming? Not me.
Nobody.
Prince in gender roles.
But I was genuinely shocked by the Breakfast Can Wait cover with Dave Chappelle. So
that's great. It really is.
And this song is actually doesn't... It's not that far from Chinese food. It talks a lot about breakfast.
What?
It talks a lot. It's talking about like pancakes and coffee.
It's nowhere near Chinese food.
Wait, so Adam, you seem to be, you're a Prince fan, so.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is not like top tier Prince. Like he's had his moment, probably. Purple Rain and that era was my favorite. But what I just thought this was like kind of a really cool video. And we were talking last week about how to not call a video, and I thought this was a great calling in a video because he's absolutely has nothing to do with, he's not on in the video at all. I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the dancing in this is
silly.
Really
it's
good.
It is silly. Yeah, lyrically it is a silly song, but it's good.
Chinese food, man. I can't believe you just Prince to a Patrice Wilson song. Oh my god.
This podcast is
the best.
It's bizarre. It's a bizarre song, but the video is so well done, and I think we're gonna definitely see some more from Danielle Curiel. I hope she's not sort of boxed in by the Prince thing and doesn't stay within that circle, because she's obviously a talented director and a talented dancer. Like the dancing is fantastic in this music video. I think that's like the kind of main draw of it. So you know, we
and
see some
pancakes.
More in the pancakes, right? There is some pancakes in this. That's what I'm saying. This is when Breakfast Can't Wait came out as just a single. I thought, okay, well, we're probably not gonna see like breakfast foods in the cover of the single and the video, and there we are. And then we have Dave Chappelle dressed as Prince with a thing of pancakes. And Prince just seems to have gone so meta
just now he just got there. He just got to meta. He's not been there the whole time.
You're verging on sarcastic, Doug.
No, I'm getting there. I'm working my way to it.
The spark, I think we can skip because it was last week, and I wrote an article about that we can link to.
Okay. What did you guys think of the Wanted video? I wrote an article about this one this week, and it was stuck in my head.
Well, sing us a few bars.
All you wanna do, show me love. Here you go.
No, Doug, you wrote about that they were in suits, so they're grown ups.
Yeah, that's right. They're grown men in suits. I've never seen a little boy in suits. No, but they're not like.
Can we look at these eyes of this boy?
This jerk threw me off. No, nothing. Just suits and grown ups. But it's like they're dealing with adult subject matter. One of them plays a bum. There's like a cop slamming a dude against the wall. It's definitely like. Not like any NSYNC video I've ever seen. I mean, considering that The Wanted is still always described as a boy band, even by me in the article that I wrote about them, and they won a singing competition show. I think, or so at least some of the members did.
This is a real talk video. This is a real talk video.
Yeah, no, they're boys. They're big men in it. Frank Borin, he directed. We watched 10 a.m. Anyone?
you just want to get off this because I said because
you made fun
ideas.
Of me. Yeah, I do.
I did watch 10 a.m. and I have something to say about this.
Because
are you guys familiar with Zoe?
No.
Nope.
But this was good though.
Yeah, a while back, somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody started adding a ton of videos from this band. Onto the site, and a lot of them were like restricted to like outside of the US, like you couldn't watch in the US. I couldn't watch a lot of them, but I ended up finding them copies on Vimeo and stuff like that. And these guys are huge apparently in Mexico. They're a Mexican band, and I don't know what's the exact name to call them is, but they, you know, they don't have any like massive view count videos, but you know, most of them are in the millions. And they're like a big, they're like kind of like a stadium band, I think they're pretty good. I was surprised to see them on the list just because I had seen so many of these videos come through the queue of being submitted, not just from one person, like being submitted from several people, and they're sort of like a Mexican band. I'm trying to learn more about other language, music, and I think Zoe is kind of a good place to start. They're very accessible.
I think a good place to start about other language music is Bruno Mars, because there's some Spanish in the gorilla video.
Oh, that's at number 8. There we go.
There it is. And you know what? Stupid ass shit. It should be higher on the list because this video premiered on Facebook like an asshole. Like, can we just have like a 30-second break where we just curse out the concept of premiering a video on Facebook? Let's just do that.
See, I was thinking about this today because I know this is you guys tweet about this and the likes of either like exclusive premieres of like a website, a blog, or something like that having an exclusive premiere or premiering on Facebook, and I just wondered if you guys had the opportunity to premiere a big video on IMDb, would that not be something you guys would jump on?
We would premiere it. We would still put it on YouTube or Vimeo, though.
Yeah, I think that the
we wouldn't
the
like things that we don't have a player.
Yeah, the things that I am mostly upset about is the outside of the realm where views can be tracked. So yeah, I'm talking about like NPR does this and it drives me nuts.
Because yeah, Rolling Stone.
And Rolling Stone does this and who's Live Nation has their own player. And
Live Nation, yeah, dude. And then and now Facebook, fucking Facebook. Because there's a way with Vimeo to make it so you can put a video on Vimeo and restrict it to just one URL. And for the day or for however long you decide, it will only embed on that URL. On that website. And so, like, if you want it to be exclusive to a website for a day, like, there are tools available to you within the structure that we've all agreed on as, like, here's where we watch music videos on YouTube and fucking Vimeo. Like, those are the websites for it. And other jerky websites. I mean, the websites aren't jerky. They just... I don't agree with their tactics. I think they should just put it on Vimeo. Like, Stereo Gum's a perfect example. Stereo Gum premieres videos every day, but they do it on their Vimeo account. And it's just a Stereo Gum Vimeo account. So, yeah.
Same with Noisy. Noisy?
Yeah, Noisy. They have a YouTube account, which is owned by Vice. They have a YouTube account. So.
But I think that, you know, I was thinking about this today as well, Adam. And because, you know, I have thought about that, you know, because we have had opportunity. We have premiered a director's cut before. And the thing is, you know, I think that one of the closest analogs to this is films, because films often get an exclusive premiere, right? Like they're like a lot of times, like films, like lower budget films or even bigger budget films, will have a New York and LA premiere. So it'll be like you'll see commercials for this, and it'll be like, you know, New York and LA, you know, on Wednesday, and like a week later, it is in nationwide. And And I think people get into that mindset. They're like, oh, well, this will be exclusive to NPR, and only people who go to NPR will watch this. But the thing, you know, that is completely ignoring the whole point of the internet, and that it is available to everyone. There's no such thing as having an exclusive premiere. I mean, you know, you can direct traffic to a certain site, but the idea of restricting, it's, you know, the idea of I'm gonna release this music video and any sane person would say I want as many people to see this as possible, and then it gets into this premiere thing with the custom players, and then all of a sudden the mindset is I want to make it hard for people to see this. Yeah. like it is, because I think people think it is some sort of exclusivity thing, like it is for New York and LA premieres. Like, I'm gonna make it hard for people to see this film the first week to build buzz. But I just don't think that translates to the internet at all.
No, not at all. And you know what you get also, which happened this week, there was a Justin Bieber music video that was filmed with a potato that came out this week. And that was put on, it was an exclusive.
I think it was leaked on World Star Hip Hop.
I don't know if it was leaked or if it was an exclusive premiere on World Star Hip Hop, because on the link, on the official World Star Hip Hop link that has, like, quote unquote 7 million views, according to World Star Hip Hop's view count, which is, I'm questioning.
That's seven quadrillion.
Yeah, 70 centillion views. So that video went on World Star Hip Hop, and now there's like 11 versions of that video on random ass fake Justin Bieber Vivo accounts, and it's on other websites. It's not like there's no like. They don't like tie it to a rope and say like this is just here now, it can't go anywhere else. Like, you can rip videos really easily from every website on the whole internet and put them a shittier copy up on a different website. And if that different website is YouTube, you're gonna get a lot of views. There's like 6 or 7 versions of that shitty Justin Bieber video with, you know, with upwards of 100,000 views and stuff. So it's not like people aren't watching it on YouTube when it's not officially put up there. So you're not really, all you're doing is just like making it hard for me.
Can I add one more thing to the accessibility of videos topic before we move on?
Yes,
definitely.
Yes.
Did you guys see the rollout of the Atoms for Peace video, like when it initially hit the internet, how they did that?
No.
Okay, so basically what Atoms for Peace did was, well, I saw it on Pitchfork first, but then they decided to kind of play along with it, and they didn't actually post the video. They posted what Atoms for Peace intended. So what you had to do was, I was not a fan of this because I really wanted to see this video. So what you had to do was go to their website, and Tom York had tweeted out a hint, which was something about blinking at Hollywood or something to that effect. And that was all the tweet said, and something to the effect of blinking at Hollywood, new video. So Pitchfork sort of pushed it a little further and said that this was a hint to see the new video. So I'm scrolling around on this massive web page of flash animation looking madly for what that could possibly be. So eventually I finally found it. There was like a scroll bar at the bottom that I couldn't see, and I was able to scroll it over, and I found the blinking Hollywood sign, and you clicked on that, and that downloaded a PDF file, and then you open the PDF file, and it had like almost like a golden Willy Wonka ticket kind of thing. Here's your pass to the video, and then it just had a link to the YouTube video.
Jesus Christ. Right.
So, and then I proceeded to, despite maybe not honoring what the artist intended, I proceeded to submit it to the database. And within about 15 minutes, every blog had it. And so never mind the Easter egg hunt. That was done.
I guess
it's kind of fun in a way, but if you're talking about limiting the initial view count on a video, that was probably the biggest example of that I've seen.
That has Tom York written all over it, though.
Tom York loves
stuff like that. He loves to be obtuse, and he loves to make it just hard for people. I do credit them for the end of the rainbow, like the pot of gold is a YouTube video, though.
Yeah, at least it's
kind of cool. It is.
And also
frustrating.
And also what the pot of gold is just an spectacular music video.
Oh my god! Yeah,
by Andrew Thomas Wang. You don't need to do that for this video, though. Like you don't need. It doesn't need it, and it doesn't add to the video at all to have you fucking searching all over Tom York's website for a blinking Hollywood sign. Like there are ways to like guerrilla market a music video that can at least add to it. Like, if you remember when Tenacious D did a music video with Daniels, and the concept of the music video was that like it was like an unfinished video, and there are like parts of it that are like crazy over the top special effects, and there's parts of it that are completely unfinished, and you see like dudes standing there with green screens and stuff. Like it the whole point of the video is that it's supposed to look unfinished, and they did a guerrilla marketing technique where like Tenacious D like talked shit about the Daniels on Facebook, and was like the directors like, it was on some like RuTube, RuTube, and it was like some kind of weird, like they fake leaked it out in some like Russian YouTube, and it like added to the story of the video of a stolen video. But like, to just search all over a website for a blinking Hollywood sign, what does that have to do with this like beautiful music video that's at the end of that rainbow. Like, where's the connection? Maybe it's just like a connection that I'm not cool or deep enough to get to make, but like, they seem completely distant from one another.
Now, another important point of this is that this video was released with pretty much no mention of who made it. And as we know from, you know, Doug, you did a pretty in-depth interview with Andrew about his video for Bjork, Mutual Core. And you know, like, the time and effort that he puts into, personally, into these videos. I mean, this is not like a... This isn't like, you know, Weta Digital in, you know, New Zealand with, four, you know, 100 guys doing this. This is a small crew, you know, led by Andrew, who are, you know, is crafting this video. And it continues his, you know, I think his really interesting love of layers. And, you know, immediately when I looked at it, I'm like, this looks like an Andrew Thomas Huang video. And the only, you know, I'm the one who called it and put it on the database and tweeted it out. And I knew that people were going to, you know, pick it up because it was right when it came out. And the only tweet that, or any information I could find, was from Legs Media, who Andrew Thomas Huang is signed to. You know, they had tweeted that that he had made it, but it was from a few days ago when the video was going to premiere at, like, the Hollywood Bowl or something. I wasn't sure what was going on, but literally, you know, I searched the internet because I usually like to get two sources to cross check, but I, you know, Legs Media, I can do with one for that. And you know, it's just, it's a sad in a way because, you know, they go to all this effort to, you know, make you jump through hoops to get this experience to, you know, see this video, but, you know, Thom Yorke isn't even going to tell you who made it, you know?
Yeah.
But this is a stunning video. I love this video.
It's so good. It's really so good. It's definitely my favorite video of the week by far. And for me, it, like, In a week where the most popular video is a video about Chinese food, like, this saved this week for me. I mean, it really did. Gosh, what a great video, though. I can't get enough of it. I have no idea what anything is. Like, what anything in this music video is made out of, I have no idea. I mean, this looks like a lot of post stuff, but he's really, like, known for combining, you know, practical tactile stuff with just like crazy visual effects. So like,
this has everything. There's some stop motion in there too, and
definitely
just mixed media. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so good.
And I feel like this is one of those things that people are going to be, you know, I love when such like a visual piece comes out, because I can take the snap and put it as like our Facebook background and our Twitter background. And so few music videos come out now that you're able to do that are so visually intensive. I feel like 95% of what we see, although some of them are unbelievable, are you know, narrative driven. And it's nice to see, you know, him putting so much emphasis on visuals and like but not just cool visuals, but visuals that, I mean, it marries with the song so well, and the movement of everything works so well with the song. It's just really, really impressive.
Yeah, this will be a heavy topic of conversation tomorrow, I believe.
So
now there's one video I want Adam Alexander to talk a little bit about, because he stumbled across this one late. I don't even know if you saw this, Adam. We just staff picked it, and it's this Odyssey video. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this, Adam?
Yeah, literally, like, actually, the Adams for Peace video came out earlier this evening, and I immediately bumped that up to my number one, and then I just accidentally found this Dream Koala video, and it had a release date of September 30th on YouTube, so I just assumed that I had found a hidden gem that had kind of flew under the radar, and the blogs hadn't grabbed it and stuff. But then I noticed that the comments and the view count was quite low, so I did a little bit more investigating, and it did premiere today. I guess Vogue released this video today. They premiered it. And I didn't know much about this Dream Koala, but immediately after watching it, I did a little bit of research. He's a French electronic producer, And the direction was by, I guess they're a duo called Fabulous. I don't have the names of the two guys, but then they also credit the Gentil Garçon as co-directors as well. And this thing is probably the only thing that could compete with that Atoms for Peace video. But this thing is, it's an amazing, I think it's computer rendered, but some of the close-ups are so detailed that it actually looks like live action at times. And it's sort of a tropical setting, like an island. And as the video moves forward, it sort of tells a narrative of some kind, but there's something to do with a plane crash and then some other stuff. And the final shot is like beyond words. I can't even really describe it, but it's definitely a must-see video. And it actually takes my number one for the week. Kind of just snuck up out of nowhere.
It knocks Atoms for Peace out. Knocks it out for you.
That's I was just watching which this is a you're huge describing thing, it. Right? It's a beautiful video. Wow. I hadn't seen this before that we started recording.
Yeah, no. I forgot to mention because Adam sent it for me like right before we got on. And it's spectacular too. I still think I give it to Atoms for Peace, but as for my favorite, but this is definitely a really great video as well. Top notch video. We didn't staff pick a lot this week, but the ones that we did were all really strong.
It's been I think Wednesday and Thursday were bigger days than Monday and Tuesday. So Doug, yours was your pick of the week is
the Atoms for Peace one. Atoms for Peace sure. One. Okay. What about you?
So mine is a video that I found a few days early. I think it was I don't know how I found it, but it was one of like a private video on one of those, you know, YouTube allows you to make something private with a little lock, but you can still go to the URL and see it. Anyway, I don't know how I found this video, but it was several days ago, and then it premiered officially yesterday. And it is called Shake by Little Boots. And the premise of this video is Little Boots is a single female singer, and it's like kind of, it's a little bit like Lorde. She's older than Lorde, but it's kind of like electronic influenced music. And the concept of this video is there is some sort of audition, and the audition involves two ballerina type girls, and they're accompanying robots. And these robots kind of, move with them. They dance, and this is not like full on like crazy gymnastic ballerina stuff. This is very basic movements, and the robots follow them. And the people who are observing this audition, who play a big part in the music video, are right there, and they're like hanging on every action. And you kind of have to. There's all sorts of little nuances. At one point, the women in the video actually have to stop and fix the robots because they've broken down, and all the guys who are like grading them, and taking notes and stuff, get really disappointed and stuff. But the thing that really, there's two things that drew me into this video. One, the casting for the two women are really great because they have to play two dual roles of kind of ballerinas, which have been a music video trope now for a few years, but they've been kind of faceless people who are only ballerinas. These people have a little bit of a backstory. They're very technologically proficient. They're able to fix, robots. And the other one is that this is maybe the top music video I've seen that has so many interpretations of what the backstory is. It just could go in so many different directions. And because of different things that happen in the video, you could make up 100 different stories about how you get to this point, and each one of those 100 stories would make sense. So I just found it really intriguing, and I thought it was really kind of fun and a little tongue in cheek. And that is my pick of the week.
Great.
Can I just add something to that one there, Adam? Sure. Too? Little Boots' last video that was released, which came out in September, it definitely flew under the radar. I wasn't blogged a whole lot. It didn't get a lot of attention, but I thought it was phenomenal. And it also had, I think it's ballet, but it's definitely some form of interpretive dancing. And I don't know if you've seen this one, Adam, but it's called Satellite. You should definitely go back on the site and check that one out because you probably like it a lot. It's actually really great.
Yeah, it looks like it only did, you know, 45.7K. And I have not seen this, but I will definitely check it out. Because I actually, before this, I had not heard of Little Boots. So I'll definitely check that out because it's...
The album is really good. Forced to choose, I would say that, just based on my personal taste, I would say that Satellite is arguably better than Shake in terms of the video and the song. So yeah, definitely let me know what you think of that one. That one's really, I thought it was really good.
Now, guys, since it's after midnight, we've had a we've had a little refresh in our top 10. All the ones from last week are now off the list, and now we've got a little shakeup here. I wonder if we should revisit really quick. Is there anything else on this list? It looks like the James Blake and Chance the Rapper Life Around Here remix directed by Nabil is now into the top 10. I enjoyed that video this week. So did I.
But you know what's in the top 10?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I don't know how to say this.
I'll give it a try.
Video is just a man on the cell phone.
So this
is this? Number nine.
Chuy Lizarraga y Subanda Tierra Sinlosens. Those are obviously the man and the woman. And the name of the song is called Relacion Clandestina, which I believe translated English comes into something like clandestine relationship, secretly relationship. So this,
now, did you watch this video? Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
Top to bottom.
So the whole premise of this video is this, you know, Spanish man, I don't know, maybe Mexican, who is talking on the phone with...
He's not just a man, though. He looks like... Which is very interesting, because Luis Guzman is already in the Bruno Mars video, but this guy essentially is Luis Guzman, too.
I thought it was him in the screenshot, actually.
He's an overweight... he's got a pencil-thin mustache, a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, and a blue... like cowboy shirt. I want to be his friend. I don't want to say he looks ridiculous, because that is I'm not used to that kind of clothes. I wouldn't wear them, but he's pulling them off, and he's getting himself a hot lady in these clothes.
She's
as well,
clearly a porn star I'm not familiar with.
Oh my god, she definitely has that look. And the whole video is them talking on cell phones. They're singing. They're essentially singing the entire song, which is sort of a ballady type song, into these cell phones. And it's about a clandestine relationship. And these two have hooked up. And you know, there's little scenes like him buying, you know, not buying. He actually just grabs the flowers and walks away from a street flower stand. And then there's no at the end. There's no real anything. It just sort of ends. She's on a bed, and he like makes his way to the room that she's at, and then it kind of just ends.
Oh, but you mean like he doesn't do like a dick helicopter or something like that? Is that what you were expecting?
Well, or maybe some, you know, some narrative element. But basically,
we get it. Yeah. You know what's up.
I'm really relieved that she's using the speakerphone to talk.
I actually had to watch it again because I didn't pick up on that right away. I was like,
she's got her Bluetooth in the car. That's good.
Yeah. It's got to be. It's safe that way. She drives her minivan around town. Okay. She's in like a
Lexus minivan.
It's like a white Chrysler shitty van. It's like the worst car. Oh, God. I'm so happy this video is in the top 10. I'm definitely using this as a screenshot. This saves the top 10 list from Chinese food.
But the weird thing is, like, I don't understand the lyrics. Maybe it's explained, but she's like a solid 8, and he's like a 2.
Yeah, but he's first of all, I don't think he's a 2. I think if you're a 2, you don't bathe. So he's at least a 3. But the thing
is, he buys her flowers, so 4, right?
Yeah,
there.
And plus he's got a beautiful singing voice and a cowboy hat. He could pull off a cowboy hat. This guy's a 6, and he's famous, so he's an 8. So equals, they're an equal relationship. So I get completely.
So that was great, and then we should also just mention that another episode in the Fall Out Boy saga came out today, which is big news.
So this is a saga.
It's actually it's number 6 of 11 of I can't remember what the whole deal is called.
we've got a playlist for it though.
Right, and I'm
not real familiar with Fall Out Boy, but it definitely was an interesting video, and it was a decent song enough for me to kind of, you know, feel that it was better than a lot of the stuff on here.
So there's 11 songs in their album, Save Rock and Roll. Actually, hold on, let me just make sure. I'm just searching.
And this was Foxes in the video with them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was?
Yeah. And she's on the album.
She's on the song.
Okay, here we go, Fall Out Boy. So the album is named... God damn it. Come on, Spotify. Let's get your act together.
Spotify.
Of course, the one thing I need to know, it's... Oh, here we go. So the album's called Save Rock and Roll, and there is 11 tracks, and basically they're doing a music video for every single one, and this is the sixth one, and this it doesn't follow the order of the album, so this one is coming after The Mighty Fall, and The Mighty Fall featuring Big Sean. If you guys were watching that one last month when it came out, it's a very action packed video, and there's a lot of action that happens in it, and this one is like the aftermath of that. You know, they're all waking up the morning after, and Foxes plays, you know, a woman who picks them up in a pickup truck. So there's not much in the terms of action, but it's basically, you know, like a feature film narrative. You know, there's the second act, and that, you know, I think we're in like the beginning of the third act. But this is, you know, all of these are, which I think is a massive undertaking, is directed by Donald, the directing duo Donald/Zaya.
Yeah, the director DP duo, I believe. Do you guys know where Fall Out Boy got their name from?
I believe it is The Simpsons.
It is. They got it from Fall Out Boy.
The goggles, they do nothing.
This is our second Simpsons reference on this app.
Adam, were you a Simpsons fan?
I was. I feel like it's lost some momentum, but
God, yeah.
I think the middle seasons were real, when Conan was a writer, and that whole era there, that was good.
Oh, that was so good. There was that. Yeah, I can't even. I just wish they would throw in the towel. I really wish. Yeah,
no way, man.
They need that. To.
You guys are wrong. Whatever. Every episode of Simpsons is still better than every episode of Family Guy. So
I would agree with that. I'm not a fan of Family Guy.
We good. Let's. I think that's a good time. A good a time as any to make it stop.
To make is that how you end the podcast? Make it stop.
Please, yeah. Please,
the listeners.
Yeah, they're like, please bring in the. I'm just here for the bad cover of Blurred Lines. It's the only reason I listen.
Oh man, last week was pretty good. I think so.
so there's no makes up for this one.
So are we gonna? What will be when we run out of bad covers of Blurred Lines? What's next?
There is no running out.
Yeah, it's a secret. We'll never run out of them. Yeah.
No, it'll be covers of. That might be good. It's gonna be another Diane Martel video.
We can't stop then. So I guess I should all do the plugs at the end. If you are on the Twitter machine, go to twitter.com/imvdb. Follow us there. On the Facebook machine, facebook.com/imvdb. Oprah.com/imvdb. And I think that's it. This has been our weekly This Week in Music video podcast that we talk about, This Week in Music videos. But also on the same podcast feed, you can find a great backlog of interviews with the directors, as well as some future upcoming videos or audio interviews with directors in the next few weeks. Also, make sure to check out the blog for interviews, as well as my daily music video relapse post, where we take a look at a older music video. And also, if you have any jewelry that you want melted down, send them to us. The address is on the site. IMVDB Cash for Gold. So we'll see you guys next week from the crew here at IMVDB. Take us out, awful Blurred Lines cover.
going deaf. Maybe I'm going blind. Maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now she was close. Tried to domesticate ya, but you're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature. Just let me liberate ya. You don't need no papers. That girl is not your maker. And that's why I always could make. I know you want it. I know you want it. I know you want it. You're a good man. Can't let it get past me. You're far from plastic. Talk about getting plastic.